Today's daf is daf kuf mem chet. We're holding really in the middle of a question. Just to remind you, the question is this. Rav Nachman made it very clear that there is no way to use the very special takana of Shchiv Meira, which we saw is an unusual thing in that it works without any type of kinyan, as long as it's a Shchiv Meira, a total Shchiv Meira. And it turns out to be that it's a takana because of tiruf hada'at. So you might have thought that it's sort of just arbitrary, and you could do anything you need to do in order to avoid tiruf hada'at. So Rav Nachman made it very clear that's not true. It's only that you can extend the normal concept of kinyanim to a shchiv meira wherever a maisa normally would be needed to indicate gemirut da'at. The chachamim were mitakein that a shchiv meira doesn't require any kind of maaseh, and it's kiktuvim, mesurim, and everything is fine. As long as it's not a shchiv meira b'miktzat, which means only partial nechasim. As long as he's giving away all of his nechasim. Terror at impending demise.
Terror.
Right.
We want to make sure we don't cause that.
No, we want to make sure that we don't make things worse. He's going through enough.
He's going through that.
Yeah, so therefore, he'll get worse
if
he can't take care of what he needs to take care of, especially if he needs to speak to a lawyer. And so, Reb Nachman, in saying that, we were faced with what appeared to be a contradiction to another clear statement that Reb Nachman made, and also an indication of an issue that Reb Nachman had previously spoken about. So one thing that Reb Nachman had said, and we're going to talk about it later today, was that if a person, as a Shchiv Meira, tries to give over either a Dover Shelo Ba Leolam, which is that it's a, let's say, perot of a deka, or a dover she'in bo mamash. So it's not a specific entity. And they're like saying, he can live in my house. There's no way for a shchiv meira to be able to do that. So that means that it needs to follow the normal gidrei kinyan. Now the problem was, we know already that Reb Nachman said before, that actually, in a matnat shchiv meira, you can do very clearly something, which is, you can give over a loan, because normally when you sell a loan, you're really only selling the right for collection. When you sell a shtar, you're selling the right of collection of the shtar. So that means that the person to whom the loan was made out to, he still retains the loan. And therefore, if he's mochel the loan, so then for all intents and purposes, your shtar is worthless, because it's a lien to collect a loan that doesn't exist. Okay. Reb Nachman says when it comes to shchiv meira, then the person that you give the rights of collection to also basically gets a loan, and he can't be marchalet. So it's as if he's a yoresh. More clearly, Reb Nachman also stated, as Rava brings, that a shchiv meira can really hand over the rights to collect a loan that doesn't have a shtar. It's a milval peh. Now, how do you hand over the rights to collect a loan? The rights to collect a loan isn't chal on anything without a lien. The money doesn't exist because milvalot son didn't know. So where exactly are those rights coming from? So if a person who was trying to give a matnat bari, standard matan of a loan, would try to do something like that, it would be completely meaningless. As meaningless as trying to sell the perot of a dekel shelo bo leolam. So why, when it comes to the perot ha-dekel, did Reb Nachman say, shchiv meira is useless? You can't do more than you would do as a bari. And yet, when it comes to transferring a loan, Reb Nachman says that actually, a shchiv meira can do more than a bari would be able to do. So how do you explain that contradiction? So what we had was one approach that we spoke about yesterday. And that is, the Rav Papa says, look, a loan, if the beneficiary of the shchiv meira would have been the son of the shchiv meira, would have inherited the loan, he would indeed. Since the mechanism for a shchiv meira is to duplicate being an heir, and we're going to see more of this later, so that the Rabbanan, as we spoke about lately, were mechazek the union of shchiv meira, that it doesn't work as buying and selling. It's meant to actually work as if it were a Yerusha. So since a Yoresh could be Yoresh, and therefore a matna shchiv meira puts him in the position of Yerusha. But something on which no kinyan is possible, that there's no way to give it to a shchiv meira. Today we want to extend now an alternative, so that we don't need to come on to shchiv meira dealing only with things that are able to be given over b'Yerusha, but rather to say that the whole question was wrong, because we thought that a loan can't be given over by a bari. But it's not really 100% true. There is a way that we can actually give over a loan, in a sense, to a bori, although it's not a standard type kinyan. Nonetheless, on the third line here, on Kuf Mem Chesamad Aleph, says, Rav Acha, Breder of Ika, Halva'a Ita Bebori. It's not actually true, your assumption upon which you base the question, that there is no way to transfer a loan unless it's through Yerusha, or your approach that Shchidmer has a din of Yerusha, there is a way. Kerevun Amarav, as we said before, one of the three halachot that were Hilchata below Taima, which you're right that we don't have such a mechanism, but nonetheless the Chachomim defined a new commercial transaction called a Havara b'cheshbon l'cheshbon. Even though there's no real way to do that legally, they created a mechanism for electronic transfers. So how do you do that? The Omer of Unomarav, Mona Libya Decha, Tnehu Leploni, Be'amamat Shloshtan, Kana. Now here's a Kenyan without a Kenyan, and it's a Kenyan that was made for commercial transactions, in which effectively it's possible to transfer a loan. At that moment, the moment he says to A, who owes him money, and that money, whether it's owed to him as a loan or whether it's owed to him as a pikadon, he says to A, give that money to C, and then it's automatically deposited by C. C has the right to collect that loan. There were no kinyanim. There's no way to achieve this. But once that pattern exists in commerce, then obviously we'll apply it to Shchiv Meira. All Reb Nachman was saying is that a non-existent mechanism was not created for Shchiv Meira other than the fact of Shchiv Meira itself being Gemirut Da. But if there's no mechanism for such Gemirut Da to ever work, if it were done with a Maisa, then you can't add it to the list of things that a Shchiv Meira can achieve. Therefore comes along now, Revacha, Breda Revika, to say, but there is a mechanism. Just, but that thing itself doesn't have a mechanism. That doesn't matter to me. Because that commercial transaction is a defined transaction. Therefore, it comes under Shchiv Meira as well. We don't have to come on to the din of a Yerusha here. Iboilo. Now we have a rather confusing question, a major, major machlokus in here, especially between Rashbam and Tosfos, as to what exactly this question relates to. Rashbam considers the question to relate to the din of Shchiv Meira directly. Tosfos shows that it can't relate to Shchiv Meira. It relates to the statement that Reb Nachman just made. And that's the easiest way to understand the sugya, especially with the girsa. We have the Rashbam as a different girsa. So let's take Tosfos's approach. Reb Nachman, could you please turn off the air? Reb Nachman just said that the din is that if you try to transfer Perot Dekel, that the din is it's a Dover Shalom Bala Olam, and the only way that a Shchiv Meira would therefore be able to transfer Perot Dekel would be to give him a schus in the Dekel itself. Bearing that in mind, the Gemara asked, what would be the din, Iboilahu, if you give a Dekel le'echad u'perotav le'acher? Suppose there is a kinyan that's given to A for the dekel and to B for the perot. Now, normally you would say when somebody gives a kinyan perot, he's giving a schut in the ilan for the perot. The problem is that the guy over here sold the ilan to somebody else, keeping at that time a part of the contract for another person to get the perot. So how do we understand that? That he actually gave over the entire ilan to the first guy and then thought that he would be able to sell the perot, even though they're lo bali olam, in which case, since he already gave it away to somebody else, there's no way he can give him the makom of the perot. Or did he mean that indeed, when I said I'm giving you the ilan, since it's in context of giving somebody else the perot, he was mishayer the makom of the perot, gave that person the schus to that makom in the dekel, or in the ilan. So the question is, this the mahu, mishier makom peri, did he mean to leave aside the makom of the perot? I understand the way that this would apply to Shchiv Meira is whether it's a Shchiv Meira b'miktzat or Shchiv Meira, is it considered to be that something was left there, and that was left there maybe could be now mevato the matna Shchiv Meira becomes a Shchiv Meira b'miktzat, since he was mishayer, fine. That's basically the Rashbam's approach. It goes all the way back to the opening issue of if he left something. It goes back to the Mishnah, Shir Liatzma. There's reasons, as we'll see, why it's difficult to fit that in. So again, as Tosfos learns, this is a general question going back to Reb Nachman. Would that be considered to be that there was a Shir in the Ilan for the Perot or not, since he already gave away the Ilan? And if, says the Gemara, im tinsaloma, la'acher lo havishiur, if you're going to tell me that when somebody sells it to another individual, the ilan versus the perot, that then he does not leave over anything since he gave it away, but how about if he was b'shayer the perot for himself? So over there, mahu. Perhaps if it's not la'acher, it's not a shiur, but la'atzmo, where he says, I'm giving this away except for the perot, which I want to keep for myself. Again, you can see how this relates to shkiv mira. Is it considered to be a shiur in the karka kosher or not? Tosfos taina that that's ridiculous because you don't need shiur b'karka, even if it was shiur b'metalton, as we'll see later on. And therefore, how could this relate to that question? Okay, again, we're following Tosfos' approach. So the shiloh over here is, if it's about himself, then maybe a person is more careful. So if he intends to keep the perot for himself, then he certainly does not intend to give away to the other person something that would cause him to be unable to retain the schus to the perot. He means to give himself the actual ilan, which includes all these other rights of replanting and so on and so forth. So those are what he wants to protect, as we saw earlier when it came to those questions. Omar Rava Omar Reb Nachman. Look, Reb Nachman says Rava, I'm not addressing the first issue. Im timtzelomar, even if you'd want to tell me that if he's giving the dekel to Mr. A and the perot to Mr. B, he does not intend to protect Mr. B by keeping a shear of the actual ilan, but so lo avi shear mokam peri, but if it's the dekel achad v'shear peratav afanav for himself, then it certainly is a shear mokam peri. And why is that? My taima, kol gabi daf sheba ayin yafa m'shayah. Basically, people like to take care of number one. And therefore, they have every intention of doing whatever is legally beneficial for them. So when they're giving it away, if the das was in the same context to keep, then they certainly want to keep whatever has to be kept to assure them of their rights. Omele Ravav or Ravash, it's interesting because what you just said, that it was Ravam Reb Nachman that said that about this Abaya, when it comes to the Mechir of a Dekel, we actually also had heard that in our Beit Midrash, except we heard it on a whole different sugya. We heard it on the Reb Shimon ben Lakish sugya. And that's where he made that statement. I'll tell you how we heard it. Reb Shimon ben Lakish said that HaMocher Bayit L'Chaviro Yomar Lo Amenach Diutai Elyonah Sheli Diutai Elyonah Shelo. Now you'll remember that we had this issue before. Normally, when somebody sells a house and there's an area on the roof that's surrounded by ma'akeh, he does not have to say, Amenach HaDiyutai. He keeps it, you tell you not, wasn't sold. And therefore, we understand that when there's an extra lashon, then that extra lashon means that he's retaining rights that he otherwise wouldn't have retained. In that case, you remember there's a whole big machlok is what it means, drainage rights, or the rights to hang his clothing from the dry cleaners over the chatzer. And so Rabbi Zera said it meant that he has a right to put a hanger over the chatzer, even though he'd already sold the chatzer to somebody else. Good. Whatever, that's not particularly what concerns us right now. What concerns us now, says Rabava, Ravashi, is that we have an abaya about that story of Reish Lakish. And it was on that abaya, which is similar to the abaya that you just raised. That's where we heard Omar Rav Amram Nachman. And here's how the abaya went. Suppose the bayit was being sold to one person and the diuta was being sold to another person. So now the shayla is, okay, I mean, over there, I understand we were talking about a case where he's saying almanat, but where he's selling it to two people, is that considered to be the same level of shiur so that he would be able to hang the guy that got the diuta now would be able to hang his things over the chatzar? Oh, look. And im timtzoloma bayit le'achad or diuta le'achad lo avishiur. How about if instead of saying almenat, we understand almenat means all mechanisms, on condition that. How about if we just said chutz? So is chutz a shiur for himself or not? So suppose it's chutz b'diuta ma'u. And on that, we heard exactly the words of Rav Am Reb Nachman that you said were referring to this abaya, which is indeed very similar. I understand why you got mixed up. That he said, im tim tzoloma, bayit l'achad, udiyuta l'achad, lo avishiur, that even if you'd be selling it to somebody else, it would not be considered to be a shiur. But chutz midiyuta avishiur. If you say chutz, then you're protecting yourself, then it's a shiur. And because of that, since it's a shiur aliba de Reb Zvid, the Amar Imra Tzelo Tzipe Zizin Motzi, then he can do so. So Alma given the shiur diyuta mokum zizin namishir. So that means that once we say that he's careful to be Mishayer the makom to himself, he also was Mishayer the right to hang things off of that makom aliba de Reb Zvid. Omer of Yosef Ben Yumi, Omer of Nachman. A shchiv mira shekatav kol nechasav la'achirin. Now, the question is this. Obviously, you can't say more than one thing at once, because you only have one mouth, although some people would lead you to believe it's otherwise. So, suppose a shchiv mira has got a whole list of things that he's giving out. We said that a shchiv mira, who leaves anything for himself, it's not considered to be a but a shchiv mira. So you could say, if a shchiv mira says, give Mr. A my car, and give Mr. B my motorcycle, and give Mr. C my home, and so on. So the car and the motorcycle were only partial matanot, and therefore the shchiv mira, if he gets better, it doesn't matter because he gave it away before he'd given away everything. And also, a shchiv mira, remember, who gives away only partially, a shchiv mira b'miktzat, does require a kinyan, because the whole takon of a shchiv mira is where it's evident that he's giving away everything machmat mikta. Over here he said, give away my car. He didn't say give away everything. So therefore, we have to look at the circumstances, says Rav Nachman. If he is going around giving away his things, so then ro'im, you have to look at what's happening. If it's b'mechalek, it's clear that he simply he's got a list, and he's just telling over what's on his list. So if he's telling over what's on his list, so then it's clear that... So when he's giving away that list, so then if he dies, since at the end of the, by the time he reaches the end of the list, he's giving away everything that he owns, so then konukula, so then it's a regular matna shchiv mira without requiring any kinyan, and if he ends up getting well, so then chozer bekula, so then he, like any other shchiv mira, the whole thing is batal because it was all a mistake. Now how about if he's nimlach, then you have to see. If you see him first only giving away his car, and then he decides he'll also give away his motorcycle, and then as the situation worsens, he decides, what do I need a house for? He gives away his house, and so on and so forth. So then, obviously, if in the end he's made, so then konukulam. But if he was Ahmad, the last guy who was the guy that he finally finished giving all everything that he owned at that point to, so that person doesn't kena because he's chaser now. But all of the others to whom he gave, the guy he gave his car to, before he had made up his mind to give up everything, that was considered to be a matana that wasn't dependent on his dying. So Mamela, assuming he made a kinyan, of course, that kinyan would stand.
Not the normal shimer.
Not the normal shimer.
So you can't have a situation where you're giving it up, well, okay.
All right, we'll get into that later. The Dilma asked the Gemara, but what do you mean? How can we be sure? Maybe the hesitation, maybe the delays were working it out as to who he's going to give things to. It's not that he gives his car because it took him 2 minutes to figure out maybe it's worth giving away the motorcycle to. It's that he was trying to figure out who to give it to. But certainly, why should we assume that he really only was ready to give away his car? Isn't that a little funny? So maybe he's just being ma'ayin. I mean, and then he's just giving it. But he certainly intended from the beginning to give everything. And if he intended to give everything, he doesn't need a kinyan, and it's a shchiv mira, and he can be chozer bekulo. And you're saying he can't be chozer. How can he be sure that he can't be chozer bekulo? That's because stame the shchiv mira made it gedayik v'adayoyim. A normal shchiv mira has in mind before he makes this big, the last will and testament show, he has in mind who he wants to give to. It's very unusual for him to be sitting there and suddenly decide he's going to, let's see now. He's been thinking about this, so he knows what he wants to do. Therefore, if there's hesitation, delays between the various matanot, it's because the first matanai was willing to give away even if he doesn't die. And the final matanot he's giving away because he's given up. That's the point. So therefore, the only the last one is a true matanah shchiv mira. If he had a list, so then of course it's all one shibat nashibra. Omer of Achaba ben Yumi Omer of Nachman. Another thing is like this: a shibira shekatav kol nechasav lacherim, the amad eno chozer. So somebody who gave away everything, he cannot have charat. Why? I thought a shibira can have charat. Ah, because chashina jemei yeshron nechasim b'minin acheret. How do you know that he's given away everything? He may give away everything that you know about. But how do you know he's giving away everything? What do you mean? But the Mishnah does it. The Mishnah says, how will we ever know? So there's no, according to you, there's basically no such thing as about the shchiv mira. That's what it boils down to. Now, before we even get into this, it's really strange that a moment before, We just got finished saying, you know what? Let's be Mekel and say that he was being Ma'ayin, and therefore he can be Bechorit, Chozer. And now we're saying the other way. Let's be Chayshesh, and therefore he can't be. I mean, how could that be? The Tosfos says because the norm is that since he had already started being Mechalek, the norm is that he's being Ma'ayin. That's the way we would obviously interpret it. But on the other hand, somebody that we have no indication is giving away everything, why should we think he is? So Amar of Chama, because obviously the Mishnah was talking about a case where that's exactly what he did. He said, I'm giving everything I own to. So if he says, I'm giving everything I own to, so then wherever he owns anything, he's giving it away. So then it doesn't matter whether we know where it is or not. You don't need that. Like everything else, it follows the assumptions, and therefore, which so we have an undana because of the chazor, we have a chazorka. If a shchimera, we said that a daiteke, we spoke about this before, a daiteke is mevatel a daiteke, meaning we always go according to his latest desire. So if 5 minutes later, his son doesn't talk to him nicely, and he says, okay, that does it, I'm giving it all to your brother. So then that's also good. Got to watch out. It's those last 5 minutes that count. So if this is the case, so then what would be if he had charota on part of the gift? Does that mean that since it doesn't stand as initially stated, it's bechlal, not a gift? Or is he just taking off a portion? So let's say originally he says, I'm giving all of my property to Reuven. And then he says, no, I think I'll give 30% of my property to Shimon. So did that 30% come off of Reuven, leaving Reuven with 70%? Or does Reuven now have nothing? Because now he's obviously not giving the 100% to Reuven. And until he says what he is, he hasn't given anything to Reuven. So how do we look at the Chazara? That's my question. Tashma, Lechora, we could bring a raya from here. Kulam l'rishon, u'miktzatan l'sheni. A guy says, I'm giving all of my things to Mr. A, and then he's giving now a matnas chivmira, and then he says, but 30% I'm going to give to Mr. B. So this is exactly the case that you asked about, right? And it says over here that the sheni was kana, and the rishon was lo kana. It's coming up with a psak that in a case where you went and you changed it and you said, I want to give mitzat on the sheni kana rishon lo kana. So we're saying now it's a given that the sheni is different. There's only two possibilities here. The guy was either amad or he was made. Now, if we're going to learn that it's talking about a case where he was amad, so then let's consider how we could possibly have it that the sheni would be kana. The only way the sheni would be kana if he was amad would be because of the fact that the sheni was only getting a miktzat shchimera. And a miktzat shchimera is chal even if he ends up not dying. And then we'd have to conclude that the halakha is that the first guy was disinherited. Because if the first guy wasn't disinherited, nobody's getting a miktzat shchimera. So that would prove the first guy was disinherited. Now, if we're talking about a case where he was mate, and nonetheless we're saying the sheni was kana, then the way that the sheni would be kana, if he was mate, yes, it could be the sheni was kana, but he was mate, because the sheni was being given a matnat shchimera. But then why wouldn't the Rishon have been kana? The Rishon would not have been kana only because he was disinherited. So the truth is, no matter how you read this, you're going to have to come up with the conclusion that he was disinherited. Completely. Because otherwise, there's no way to always explain one case or the other. If it's talking about mate, then we can't explain why the first guy doesn't get. If it's talking about that he was amad, then we can't explain why the second guy would get. Because if he was not disinherited, then the second guy was also given a matnat shchimera. It was a 100% situation. So the truth is, when you think it out, it's obvious that there's no way to get out of this. No matter what shot you're going to say, whether it's mate or amad, you're going to be in a position of proving that the first guy was completely disinherited because he took away some little bit from him and gave it to somebody else. However, the Gemara, and this the Gemara ultimately comes out with, but it first makes it, in a sense, simple for us by allowing us to remain confused about the status at the time that it was given. So if we talk about the first guy was given 100% when he was given 100% initially. Then we turned around and we gave somebody else a third, let's say. Right? And now the person goes ahead and dies. So if we're talking about a case where he was b'shameit, so we say to ourselves, well, if it's talking about b'shameit, how come the first guy doesn't get? First guy doesn't get because he was disinherited. So the Gemara answers, well, I'm actually talking about that he wasn't made. He was Amad. So then we say to ourselves, he was Amad. So then the reason that he didn't get was, we're trying to say, not because he was disinherited, but the reason that he didn't get was because the guy recovered. The guy recovered. And, again, we're supposed to be thinking like this, even though obviously it's not true. And since at the time that it was given to him as 100% Amad Nashim Mirah, so since Amad Nashim Mirah doesn't work if it's talking about Kisha Amad, the reason he didn't get anything was because the guy was Kisha Amad. Of course, we should be thinking to ourselves, yeah, so then why would the second guy get anything? If you're now trying to claim that he was not disinherited. Fine, we're going to ask that question. We're going to get to that question. But ignoring the implications of what the status of the first guy would have meant for the second guy's Yerusha, we thought that we got out of the problem because we were focusing on number one. So we said, now how do you explain the fact that if the guy dies, number one doesn't have anything? The only explanation is that he was disinherited. No, the explanation is that Amad Nashkimara isn't given to a guy when he recovers. And we're talking about when he recovers. So maybe he still retained his Amad Nashkimara. Okay, then we go out and we're going to go and prove that it's talking about Bisha Amad. And then we're going to say, no, who cares? If, as we pointed out, if you thought it out properly in the beginning, you'd realize makes absolutely no difference because either approach has to end up explaining why there's a difference between number one and number two. And there's no way to explain that difference unless number one was disinherited, whether it's talking about Kisha Meit or talking about Kisha Amad. So therefore, as far as number two is concerned, if it's a Matan of a Miktzat, he gets it anyway, whether the guy was Meit or he was Amad. And as far as number one is concerned, he'll never get anything because of the fact that he was disinherited. And that's the end of the story. This is the way that it's going to come out in the end. Now, what we want to do is we're going to go through it as if we're analyzing just what happened to the first guy and try to figure out why it was that he was not Konet, despite the fact that the guy died, as we assume. So our assumption over here, just looking at that guy, our assumption over here is that the Chiddush of the Braita is that the first guy isn't going to get anything, and there must be, he's not going to get anything, even in a case where he was mate, and therefore why doesn't he get? Must be because when he had Charata, he took away the entire Matna Shrimira from Mr. A. So there's your answer. Apparently a Chazara b'miktzat is Havi Chazara, says the Gemara. Lo. Bishamat, maybe it's talking about the reason that he doesn't get is because the Shemira recovered. So therefore only the second guy would get who's getting Miktas. So when the Gemara says now that actually no, it's talking about over here Bishamat. What does that mean? That since he was Amad, that would explain why the first guy didn't get. And Ochinami Bistavra, Miriktani Seifa, take a look at the next case. Miktzatan Rishon Vekulam Lesheni. Suppose he gives now, let's say the 30% he gives to Mr. A. And then he says, and whatever is left, the other 70%, I give to Mr. B. Okay, so now it says just the opposite, that the Rishon is Kana and the Sheni is Lo Kana. Now this was Benimla. So that means when the second guy got it, the second guy was being given a Matna Shchiv Merah 100%. The first guy, when he got it, was only given 30%. Therefore, if he is Amed, then he would be anyway Kana. So if you're talking about a case where the Rishon is Kana and the Sheni is Lo Kana, that would make sense in a case Kisha Amad. Se'yamrit Bishleim and Bisha Amad. Okay, that explains why the Sheni is not Kone. Because the Sheni was the one who got the 70%, which equaled 100% of all of his property, and therefore it was a Matnashkib Mirah, whereas the first person who was a Miktzat person, he was someone who would have been Kena as a Miktzat, even if the guy gets better. So it must be that this braita is talking about Bisha Amat. So you see, I'm not just guessing. The braita is clearly talking about Bisha Amat, and therefore you don't have any raya that it was, in fact, the first guy doesn't get because he was disinherited by the change of mind. The first guy didn't get because he recovered. Says the Gemara, so I don't care. Well, it makes a difference. So let's, fine, you're right. Let's say it's Bishamad. So what are you proving? You're still going to have to say that Chazor ben Mikzat is Chazor. Because then the Sheni would have been Kena Bishamad. Why? Because the first guy didn't get anything. The second guy got 30%. And therefore, it wasn't a matashkim mirah, it was a matashkim mirah b'miktzat, which is chal, as our Mishnah said, even if the guy gets better. But if you're going to try to tell me that chazara b'miktzat lo avi chazara b'kula, so then that means that both of them shouldn't be kena, because now both of them were matashkim mirah 100%. So then why does it say that the sheni is kana? So you're not making it better, you're not changing the proof. Therefore, obviously, it's now clear that the whole original thinking was warped. For us to think that it was determined by what he had said initially, that he gave it to him the whole thing, to the second one he gave only partially, that's irrelevant. What's relevant is, was it the whole thing at the time that the Shemira, the Matana was Chal? Now, we don't care what he said. And therefore, I don't care how you're going to read it. So if you're talking about Bisha Amad, so explain. Bisha Amad, the reason that the first one wasn't Kena would have to have been not because of Bisha Amad, because if it was because of Bisha Amad, then that would have meant that the Chazara wasn't a Chazara. And therefore, the second one should have not been Kena if it was Bisha Amad. So anyway, the reason's going to have to be that the first one was disinherited. So if it's the first one was disinherited, it might as well be Kishamait. Because if it's Bishamait, so the second guy is going to be Kena no matter what, Bishamait or Bishamat. So it's irrelevant to us. Therefore, the case stands no matter how you're going to read it, and the proof stands anyway, because Lamaisa, it's got to be that the first one was disinherited. There's no other way to understand the whole thing. So all of this rigmarole about proving to me from the Sefer that it's got to be talking about a case of Bishamat is completely meaningless. I agree with you. The case in the safe is talking about Bishamat. So, what does that have to do with anything? The fact is, the first case yields exactly the same results, no matter how you read it. Whether Bishamat or Bishamat, it's exactly the same. And therefore, the Hilchata, therefore the Halacha is that Chazara b'miktzat is indeed Chazara b'kula. Which means that when you're reading this braita, you can read the reisha any way you want to. Reisha mashkachava ben shemait, and then the reason that the second guy got it is because of the kinyan that was made with it, not because of the shchiv mira status. And the first guy didn't get it, even though he died, because he had been disinherited. And ben sha'amad. It's also the reason that the second guy gets it if he was amad, is because what he was given was not a matnas shchiv mira. He was given a matnas shchiv mira b'miktzas with a kinyan, which therefore, why? Because the first guy didn't have a penny, and the man had only given away 30% of his property. And as the Mishnah says, in such a case, even if he gets better, the matana stands. So therefore, we don't really care what the case is in the Reisha. The Seifa, fine, you're right. Lo mashkachava ela bisha amad. That's fine. The case in the second case where you started off now with Miktzatan L'Rishon, and then you added the rest of it, L'Sheini. There, obviously, the Rishon is, the Sheini is lo kana only because of the fact that it was the bisha amad. That's true. But the Rishon is kana because it was a b'miktzat. That's not what we're talking about. We already made that clear before, that if it's kibbech halek, it doesn't matter. It's talking about over here that it was a addition. It was a chazara. Yeah, we already made that clear at the beginning. That was the first thing that we said. You have to look into the way in which it's being given over. If it's being given over as a list, then it's all at the same time. Iboilo, another issue that I have is, how about if what he did was, he wasn't giving it to a particular individual, private individual. He was giving over his nechasim to Hegdesh. So he gdish ko nechasav as a matna shchiv mira, the amad. mar. So do we have that same takona when it comes to shchiv meira? The understanding is that the entire gift is based on an assumption of his impending death, which if it doesn't occur, cancels the gift. Does that apply to hekdesh as well? Or perhaps we say, Miyamrina, Kolagabe Hegdish Gomer Omakne. A guy is doing something, he's looking for a schus and so on. So he gives away everything he owns to Hegdish. You know, he's not in the mood now to risk taking it back, you know. Maybe that's why he got better. No, obviously that's not the issue. But so do we say, yes, but that's not the issue. So do we say that since he's giving it to Hegdish, he figures, you know what, it's a mitzvah. What the heck? I give it to Hegdesh with a complete lave, even if I recover. We'll have to make more money. Oh, Dilma, or do we say that? No, people don't think like that. Kol agabe nafshe. I mean, a person is always worried about maintaining something for himself. So kol agabe nafshe lo gomar amakne. So, question one. Now, question two would be, yeah.
So is it an issue of whether it's also batal from the beginning and never took place? Or even
every shemira is batal from the beginning.
It's not like it's there now, it's
under its point. No, it would never be chal unless he dies.
Right.
So now the question is like that. Okay, that's in terms of Hegdesh. What about if he is mafkir kol nechasa? So would we say over there that lamaisa, when a person gives away to Hegdesh, that's one thing, but I mean if he's just throwing his life away, he's being mafkir all of his things, so then maybe he's just, you know, he's just giving up. I mean, if he's just giving up, so, and it's true efker, then it doesn't matter if he would get better or not. That would be one possibility. There's two possibilities. Maybe since he's giving it away to everybody, and he's giving it to aniyim and hashirim. See, me, I'm going to give it to afla aniyim kashirim. Gomer amak. He figures, well, there'll be a lot of needy people that will end up using it. That's a schos. So maybe he's actually willing to give it all the way. Or there too, we say, called the gabi navshe, lo gomer amakne. Now, how about, if you don't think that that case is a complete commitment, how about if he's chile kone chasav laniyimai? He actually gives it away specifically to the poor. So, miyamrinan tzedakah, varai migma gomer amakne. So do we say, well, if it's kuloi litzedakah, I mean, that's already something that a person really wants to give away. Odilma, even to give to aniyim, he still prefers to keep it if he recovers. Kol gabi nafshei lo gamar amakne teku. Omer Rav Sheshes matna shchiv mira can use any lashon matana. You could say yitol. Let so and so be notel. Let so and so be zoche. Let so and so be marzik. Let so and so be kone. Those languages yitol yizkeh. Yachzik, Yiknet, Kulan Lashon Matanai. And as a matter of fact, there's even a brayta that adds, Adnita Tana, he could say Yachsin or Yarat if the person is royally Yosho. But of course, it's only going according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruch. Because according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruch, Shchimera can also be Machalik Nechasav Derech Yerusha. Not with the Tekon of Shchimera. As long as it is someone who is next in line to be Yoresh, and he's just defining the ratios. So there, if you use the Lashon of Yerusha, Yahasin, where do we see that Yahasin is Yoresh, that you know? Chosen Yeshuot. Kilo la'olam Chosen. Chosen Yeshuot. Chosen refers to Isha. Sha'ayadei Nashim. Say the Nashim, as Rashi says. Sha'ayadei Nashim. Naladim Chosen. Okay. So therefore, even if you use the Lashon of Yahasin, or Yarat, which is Yoresh in Hebrew, as long as it's royally Yorsho, that's Rabbi Yochanan Baruch. Iboilo. How about if he says, well, let so-and-so enjoy my property? Well, it could be saying, let him enjoy my property in the sense that at least if I'm not around, someone should enjoy it. So let him enjoy it. So what does that mean? Does it mean let him enjoy it in the sense we're giving the whole thing to him? Or does he mean let him get some kind of benefit from it? And my heirs should give him 10 cents. I mean, I don't know, you should enjoy it. What does that mean? So the tanimi now midikama. How about if he said, Yera Ebehen? He shall be seen in my property. Or he says, Yamod Behem. Let him stand in my property. Or Yishan Behem. He should be Nishan Bisomek on my property. I mean, is this a lotion of Nitina? Ma. Take all of those lashonas are unclear.